welcome to another episode of the Humming Projector podcast. When I was relatively new to the Film Collectors Club in Oslo, I was asked many times to join some of the others to go to Blackpool. I had no idea what it was all about, and it took a while before I decided to go. I have now been to Blackpool Convention a few times, and I think it really deserves its own episode. And what better way to discuss this than to invite one of the organizers? So with me today, we have Simon McConway. Welcome to the podcast, Simon. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. A great honor and indeed a privilege to be here.
Good. Some of the listeners know the convention really well and have been there many times, and others might have considered going but have not yet been there. Some perhaps live at the other side of the world where it's not that easy to go. But either way, I think the topic of conventions in general is interesting. And not many film collectors' conventions have a long history like the Blackpool Convention. And perhaps some will now consider going to Blackpool next time. So, in short, what is the convention in Blackpool?
Well, it's a celebration of anything to do with celluloid film, be that projecting it, be that watching it, be that appreciating film on celluloid in the non-perfect world of celluloid. I think we've become used to DVDs, where everything is very perfect. There's never going to be a scratch. There's never going to be a join. But I think, the world is not a perfect place. And, you know, showing film on celluloid, complete with its tiny scratches sometimes and its splices. Indeed, the Humming Projector, perfect name for this podcast. You get to experience that at Blackpool over and over again. If you wanted to get into collecting film, Blackpool would be a brilliant place to go to buy film and also buy projectors. But the other thing that for me is one of the best things about Blackpool is to talk to other people who perhaps have more experience. I've learned so much by talking to other people. Some people in there have been collecting film and operating and projecting film for 60, 70 years, which is twice as long as I've ever been interested in it. And so as a result, you know, you can't find a better place to get that hands-on experience, to get that experience from other people. I've heard the story many, many times. People go to Blackpool with a problem. Say their projector isn't working or they've got some kind of problem. They'll always find somebody who says, have you tried this? What about trying that? And as a result, the expertise that they are getting involved with allows them to get to the end of the problem.
Exactly. And the people of the convention is what really, really drives me going back. And we'll get a little bit back to that later. But let's talk a little bit about what actually happens at the convention. We have a few events at the convention. So let's start with the Friday. What happens on the Friday every Blackpool convention?
Well, the Friday is a new addition to Blackpool. For the last sort of 6 or 7 years, we've had a Friday night. Back in the day, if you'd gone, say, 30 years ago, there wouldn't be a Friday night. But the Friday night is always a feature film. Now, in the past, that's been on Super 8, on 16, but last year, so that was 2022, for the first time ever, we had it on 35mm. Nigel, who is a former 35mm cinema projectionist, he brought along a 35mm projector, a superb film, and the quality, as you know, Ivan, you were there, you saw it, the quality of that was really exceptional, and the showmanship as well. There wasn't any problems. I know we said earlier about, you know, the odd little scratch on film adds to it. There were no scratches on this film. But I think that it's we never know what's going to happen on the Friday night. What we do know is last year, we had to get extra seats. There were not enough seats in the room, which we thought was great to have to get extra seats out. But that's a time for us to appreciate a film, and actually watching a film with an audience there, you get the laughter. It's a sense of occasion, you know, to share a film and enjoy a film with other people. It is great. And so that's what's been happening on the Friday night for the last few years. The very first Friday night, one of the very first Friday nights, it was actually just a projector testing session. So we had like a UMIG, a Super 8 projector, a 60mm projector, and we just ran these. There was no sort of showing feature films. It was just a chance to try out projectors. That then moved on to what we've just described, that shared feature film that normally starts about 8 o'clock and then finishes whenever, 11:30, something like that.
Yeah, and this Friday I was actually surprised, but the room was so packed. I'm usually going around filming with my video recorder to put a video on YouTube, as some might have seen. And I had a little trouble moving around in the room filming because there were so many people.
I mean, this year, it's great that we're going to have to probably ask the hotel for a bigger room.
Right.
We can't get everybody in, and that's got to be great news, hasn't it?
Yeah, a great problem to have.
Definitely.
Moving on to Saturday, what is happening in the daytime on Saturday and later in the evening? An evening that Adrian Winchester and David Watson do a great job organising.
Well, again, it's appreciation of film for the first half of the day, if you like. So starting at about 10 and running up to 4 p.m, we have an all-day cinema. It's all on celluloid, all on Super 8 or 16mm film. And it's Jim Cecil who runs that. And it's literally, some people will stay for the whole day, so they'll be there from 10 till 4. Other people come for 1 hour, other people come for 10 minutes. The joy of it is it's not one feature film or two feature films. It's normally shorter films, so you can see cartoons, maybe a film trailer, maybe a film about, you know, I've seen a travelogue about Blackpool, I've seen a travelogue film about Canada, loads of different things. People are actually allowed, if they want to bring films to show. And they'll give those to the projectionists and they will be shown. So again, that's from 10, about 10 a.m. in the morning till 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And then while all that is going on, behind the scenes, they're getting ready for the evening event on the Saturday, which is the film collector's meal. We have a big meal. I think it was 5 courses, but anyway, it's a dinner. It's a high table dinner. And again, we put on our smart suits, some of us. We put on our smart ties, and we enjoy a 5-course meal. Between each course of the meal is a quiz, so there'll be like 5 questions between each course. Some of the questions ridiculously difficult, other questions a little bit easier, and it's all about seeing, you know, who is the film brain in that room. It's competitive, but in a pleasant way. Many years ago, Blackpool at the dinner, it used to be a little bit, how can I put it, it was whose table can be the rowdiest, and that for a newcomer could be a bit off-putting. That's all gone now, thank goodness. And it's a very inclusive place. Anybody can come. Even if you came and you didn't know anybody, you would soon get to know people. No one is better than anybody else. Everybody's on a level. And as I said, good food and a quiz. We also have a raffle. So when a raffle ticket is purchased, you could actually win some
Absolutely.
Very excellent prizes. So last year we had an Elmo ST1200 Super 8 sound projector. Now that is a very good projector, very valuable projector. And to be able to win that as one of the prizes is, you know, we've come away from the days of winning a box of chocolates, and now we've moved on to, you know, projectors and films and things like that. Once all of that is out of the way, then of course, with it being Blackpool, we round off the evening with a film presentation. So every year, a different collector or a different guest at the dinner will bring their own film to show. In the past, it's normally been on Super 8. We've had 16mm as well. And again, you never know what someone's going to put together for their compilation film. It's normally about a 40 minute to an hour film show. And we've seen things up there on the screen that we didn't even know existed on celluloid. And that's the joy of Blackpool. Yeah, you can look at YouTube, but you will not find, for example, some of the films that have been shown at the dinner, at the after-dinner film show. And again, the humming projector can be heard in the background, adding to all of the joy.
Exactly. And last year, it was a Fumo projector, a projector I could only dream to own.
And in fact, it was so big, that projector that you just mentioned, the owner, David, he had to bring a van. He had to hire a van to get it all there.
Yeah, and you could take the arms off to relieve some weight because it was so incredibly heavy. So
it
that was some beast. And I will just add, for the quiz, when I first saw that, I was like, oh no, I'm not good at this. But it's really just for fun, and it doesn't matter if you don't know any questions. I fail miserably every year, but I enjoy it a lot.
Me, yeah.
And I really enjoy watching some of the brilliant minds there that I don't know how they do it, but they know everything.
Yeah.
So
I know we mentioned that there was a Super 8 projector for a prize. There are other, I mean, that was the sort of star prize. There were other prizes, like a particularly excellent jigsaw that Ivan made, which sure, it actually was a unique projector on the, you know, a unique projector made into a jigsaw. And again, you'd never be able to find that anywhere else. And so, yeah, there are smaller prizes and bigger prizes. That's all obviously for the raffle. And all the funds that are made for that, they go back into organising Blackpool for future years. So you know that by being part of that, you're supporting the event moving forward.
Yeah. And the prize table is really huge. I didn't know it was that many prizes. And as you say, it's all kinds of prizes, but it's a fun lasting for a long time drawing those raffles. And on Sunday we have the film fair. That's probably the most famous part of the convention, I would guess. What yes. happens on Sunday?
So that is the dealers. So they all come and set up their tables. And again, you don't know what you're going to be able to find or what you're going to be able to buy. There'll be Super 8 projectors, 60mm projectors, Super 8 films, 60mm films. There's a bring and buy stall, so if you have any excess films or equipment, you can bring them and sell them. We have an auction, so you can, instead of putting things on the bring and buy table, you can put them into an auction that's professionally run. And again, more films to watch at the cinema. Two cinemas, normally one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And we have surprise guests, some guests we know about, some we don't know about. Jed Jones was there last year from Duran Film Services. So if ever there was Super 8 royalty, then Jed is Super 8 royalty. And he allowed us to have a question and answer session. One of my fellow organisers, Adrian, he asked all the questions and Jed gave us all the answers. And it was fascinating to hear about the kind of trade side of Super 8 films. And you know, we have, again, coming back to the opportunity to meet with fellow collectors, chat with other people. Many people like me started to come to Blackpool just to the film fair. So they didn't come on Saturday. They didn't come on Friday. But after a while, you think to yourself, I've heard about the dinner. That sounds good. I think I'll come to that. Then you hear people are coming on the Friday. I think I'll come on the Friday. So What was once a Saturday afternoon and a Sunday has now turned into an entire weekend, starting on the Friday, like we said. But as you quite rightly say, Ivan, the Saturday, the Sunday, it is the most important. It is the most, I wouldn't say important, I'll come back on that. I'd say the most well-known part of it is the Sunday. Now, the dealers, some are professional. So we have Classic Home Cinema. They're the only, to our knowledge, our only cine shop that exists in the UK, run as a professional business, Classic Home Cinema with Phil Sheard. They help us and support us every single year. Then we have other dealers who are people like me who collect films and just think, I need to have a bit of a clear out. I'll sell some films. I'll sell some projectors. And again, there's no way in the world you can ever know what you are going to find, from the rarest cartoon to things that you've seen a hundred of. So it's just no way of seeing. And that's the joy. People come in there and there's a big queue because people just never know what they're going to see.
No, exactly. And you find big boxes of Super 8 boxes and 60mm. And when you browse through them, you never know what the next one will be. It can be Match of the Century, or it could be a really, really nice gem you never heard about. You never know. So that's a part of the big excitement to go through the boxes. What would you find? Like a treasure hunt there, almost.
Definitely, definitely. Really good. Really good fun. And the other good thing is, and some people find this annoying, I love it, it's when sometimes the boxes with the film inside are not even labelled. You pick up a box, there's a reel of film inside, but there's no label. You don't even know what it is. You ask the dealer, what is this? They don't know. You can have it for £1. You get it home and find that it's a reel of cartoons. But that's the joy of Blackpool. Yeah. You would never get that on eBay. You would never find anything even near it as good on eBay.
No, and the other thing is that on eBay you can't actually inspect the film. There you have it in your hands. You can see how the box is, how the reel is, how the colors are on the film. How could you do that on eBay?
Exactly.
And also talking to the previous owner, perhaps. So that's something really different. And it's not just the films. You have also film equipment, and you have memorabilia, all sorts of things. People are selling there. I almost bought a UMIG before I got my senses.
Oh yeah,
because yes. I had to transport it back on a plane. So, but I was really, really tempted. People are coming from all over the world. Me and myself, I'm coming from Norway, and we have a little group of Norwegians coming every year. And we have one guy from Sweden every year. We have people from Belgium, USA, Germany, and Northern Ireland. I mean, coming from the USA, coming to Blackpool year after year after year, that tells you something.
Exactly right. And I think people, you know, like yourself, you know, you come all the way from Norway. It is really good to hear people. The question they always ask is it, are you doing it next year? Are we having Blackpool next year? So we always think, well, they must have enjoyed it if they're asking for it to happen again and again and again.
Yeah. And for me, it's not like coming to find that cheap film, because, I mean, the plane ticket makes it all a little bit more expensive. But there are a couple of things. First off, you can find those gems that you didn't really know existed in the first place, or you never come first when a sailor is providing that elsewhere. But the other things that really stands out is the people. That's what it comes... when I look at it, no matter how I look at it, that's the big thing for me. You meet all those people. You have the hallway tracks, as I call it, when you talk to the people in the breaks and at the breakfast or the dinner, depending on where you live. You can't find that anywhere else. You don't find that on eBay. You don't find that on. You can learn to know people that much on a forum, but meeting them in the real life is something really different.
Well, I mean, I've been going to Blackpool since 1997, and actually some of the people there that I've seen year on year have become personal friends. And that's, like you've just been saying, Ivan, it's about those people, the relationships that you build, and the friendships that stem from there.
Yeah, and it goes really quickly. That was what amazed me, was how quickly I learned to know people. Last time was my third time only, because we had the pandemic putting a stop to the previous one. And I've been there three times, and when I got into the room, people say, "Oh, hi, Ivan." Like, I've been there so many times. So I was surprised to how quickly I learned to know a lot of people, because there are so many friendly people there. I just wanted to say that really clear. I'll also mention a little trick that I did the first time I went. Of course, it was like cheating a little bit, because I went with a few friends from Norway. But what I did was posting on a couple of forums a picture of myself and said, "Well, if you see me on the convention, please come and say hi." And people did, and that was really fun. So that's a neat trick if you don't know too many people.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, you know, people are very friendly, which you're saying, you're echoing that yourself. And I think that's increased over recent years. There are no secret clubs, there are no secret groups. Everybody's friendly, and everybody's happy to see anybody at Blackpool.
Perhaps that might have changed in the recent years, because in the old days, probably more people came just because that was where you could find films more so than today, where you can find films more easily on eBay. So there must be something else than just finding the film. So perhaps that it was is making the focus more into the people the recent years, perhaps, because the convention has been on for many years.
Let me just tell you then. So unbelievably, it started in 1976. And it was a guy called Les Siddle who had a cine shop in Blackpool called Regent Films. And he started off the very first Blackpool, November 1976. We don't know much about that. Obviously, there weren't videos in those days where we could record stuff. I do remember reading somewhere that equipment manufacturers, like I believe Sankyo, who make projectors, Super 8 projectors, I think they had a stall there. So imagine being able to buy brand new equipment at Blackpool. It would be unheard of today, because, of course, we've moved on from that. But that was the first Blackpool. And then Duran Film Services took it over. And I checked out with Jed Jones. He said it was 1984 when Duran took over the running of Blackpool. And they extended it. So I believe that when Les Siddle ran it, very, very great job he did, it was the film fair only, so the sales of film. When Duran took it over, they introduced the Saturday night meal. Duran ran it right up until 2011 without a single, missing a single year. When Duran closed in 2011, obviously people were saying, what will happen to Blackpool? David Guest took it over. The late, great David Guest took it over from 2011 onwards, and he ran it up until 2018. Now, when new people take it on, I think they bring new ideas and new life to the event. So it was David who introduced the Friday night, which we've mentioned. He put that idea on and made it a reality, so it happened. Now, sadly, David passed away in January of 2019, but he did run the Blackpool Film Convention right up until 2018. His widow, Elaine Guest, took it on from after he sadly passed away, and she ran it from 2019 to 2021. Now, in 2020, that was the only year ever since Blackpool started that we didn't have a Blackpool Film Convention because of COVID, obviously. But Elaine then came back after that and ran it in for 2021. She decided she would step aside from organising Blackpool. And again, we were thinking, what is going to happen to Blackpool? So for 2022, which was last year, a team of six of us, we decided that we would take on Blackpool and organise it as a team. For the simple reason...
I was just saying, how did that happen? How did you find each other? How did you end up as that group and not somebody else? How did that come together?
Well, I used to hear regularly from Elaine, as did Paul Barker. And we said to ourselves, this was about this time last year, so January, February 2022. Got the year right. We thought, we haven't heard anything from Elaine. We better get in touch with her. And when we did, she said, I'm going to step aside from running it this year. Why don't you take it on? So there was me and Paul and a few others. We just got people together that we'd worked with closely already at Blackpool, people who'd helped out when Elaine was running it, people who'd shown us that, you know, they were able to put in the effort and really, because it's a lot of work. It may look something as good as Blackpool can appear, or I bet that was easy to organise, but it's a lot of hard work behind the scenes. But the reason that we had six people, Ivan, is because we thought, well, if there's just one person organising it, say that person was unwell or they decided they wouldn't run Blackpool, then the event would be uncertain. But with if one person did that now, you've got another five people who would step into the breach and they would take over the running. So by having six of us, we think that it safeguards the future of the event. So it's never just going to be one person's responsibility. It's a collective responsibility. So last year we shared the organisation and also we shared the financial costs, because obviously we have to book the hotel. They will require payment for that. And we shared all of that out between us, which allowed it to run as well as it did last year.
Yeah, and I think that those names deserve to be mentioned because it's a lot of work, and it's you, Simon McConway, it's Mark Norton, Adrian Winchester, David Watson, Jeremy Norman, and Paul Barker. And I must say, when I've been there a few times now, I see you in action. You are busy all the time. There is always something happens. And I want to mention that clearly because sometimes I get the impression, I won't give that much of attention, but sometimes I get the impression that people, especially people not being there, think that things happen by itself and have a lot of meanings of the convention, but you put in a lot of hours into this. I see the hours you put into it on the convention, which is a lot, and you are busy. You're not making that much of a good purchases because you're busy making the convention actually happening. And I think you really deserve, you and the others really deserve a shout out to actually putting that work into it. And I can only imagine how many hours you put in on beforehand, which I can't see. And as you say, it's an economic risk, of course. And what, if anything, keep you awake before the convention?
Oh, everything. You know, will people turn up? Have we got the date correct? I know we've double-checked the date a million times, but I just think, what if... And you know what? And this is... Some people did turn up on the wrong date a few years ago, but that was their own stupidity. Oh, I've got to say, it was nothing to do with us because it wasn't. We weren't even organising it then. But that keeps us awake and also making it as good as we can. So the hotel have certain rules, new rules every year. This last year, they said no items when we're selling films, no items on the floor in the dealer's room. And so what we did is we said to ourselves, how can we get around that? Dealers always put things on the floor. So we said, let's give them bigger tables. And we'll say no items on the floor. So one, that made the dealer's room look a lot tidier and a lot more organized. Two, the dealer's tables were bigger. So there was more space to look. Stuff wasn't piled up. It was, you had space to look through films, like you said earlier, look at whatever was on that table for sale. And that allowed us, again, just to raise the organization, make the actual dealer's room look as good as it. I mean, it's always looked good. We think just by having that new rule, nothing on the floor, it makes it safer because there's nothing to trip up, and it makes it look a bit tidier and neater as well.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work putting that up, I can imagine. On beforehand, when we wait for the film fair to open, everybody else like me have to wait outside, and we always imagine what is going on inside just before you open.
Many years ago, I would wait like you in the queue, and I'd see people running around inside, and I'm thinking, how come they've got in first? 10 to 10? Why are they in there? We have a strict rule on that. And even though there are organisers inside, most of the dealers won't allow any purchases to be made before 10 a.m. Which, and I know that people, you know, talk on the forums and say this and say that, but, you know, we make sure that that rule is kept to. Nobody is better than anybody else. Nobody gets in early. The only people who are in there before the doors open are obviously the dealers, because they have stalls. Obviously the organisers, we have to be there. But there's no purchasing happening until those doors open at 10 a.m. Nothing's reserved, nothing's for sale until 10 a.m. And we have had people who try to get in who sneaked in, and they've been asked very politely, but nevertheless forcibly, please leave, and they've been escorted out until 10 a.m.
Yeah, so we better come early to get in. It sounds like a disadvantage, actually, to be one of the organizers. You can't get any advantages. You got all the disadvantages, well, and you put in a lot of time, and you have the stress all weekend. So what drives you? What made you decide to do this, and not just, oh, I hope somebody else will continue because I like the convention, but I don't want to put in all the work. What drives you to doing that?
Well, I think like we said earlier, it's that longevity of the event, something that's run from 1976. We couldn't have let it just finish and end.
No.
And many people on forums and all over the place write loads of different ideas about Blackpool. I thought, well, this is an opportunity to put some of these ideas into action, and actually make sure that we are taking a really good event, because it's always been really good, and making it even better. So now we think that we appeal to two types of film people. People who come to buy films, and also people who maybe just want to come and appreciate films. They can come for the weekend or just one day, it's up to them. But there's plenty of opportunities for them just to appreciate film, to watch film. And so all of these things make it a very unique event. And because it's a very unique event, that's what drives me and the whole of the team, in fact. Equally, we all think this is something that, you know, is special and unique, and we want to keep that going for as long as we possibly can.
Yeah. So what are your plans for the future? You have, I saw your adjustments last time. There were a few adjustments, but I get a lot of it was just to get through that first time where you had all the responsibility. So have you any plans for the future? What will we see, a change of direction, or will we just keep on using the success formula?
We are going to take what is good and make it as good as it can be. We don't want to reinvent it, because it needs to have all of the features that people have come to expect. We won't be removing anything. We will be making fine adjustments, I would say, behind the scenes to make it run even smoother. Now, you may say, oh, it already is smooth, but there were a few things that no one else saw. We just thought we could tighten that up a little bit. But, you know, we're going to have a bigger room, hopefully, for the Friday night. We discussed that earlier, to get everybody in. But we're going to continue with all of the really celebrated features of Blackpool, the things that people love. They're going to be made even better as far as we can. But I don't think, because we had some really the best feedback you could ever imagine, people have not asked for changes. People have said they enjoy it as it is. And if we started to make too many changes, then you would run into the danger of Blackpool turning into something else.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, taking what is good and making it even better. Well, something a little different this year is you can see last year's convention on Super 8 film if you come this year. Ivan very kindly took my Super 8 camera for a journey around Blackpool. I gave him half of a Super 8 cartridge. This is the new Kodak 100D film that they've released. And he filmed people from dealers to collectors. And it really is an excellent sort of mini edit, if you like, just a 3-minute film of some of the things that happened. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing that this year. We'll show that film across the weekend. As we say, it's only a short film. But the fact that it's on Super 8, having been shot on Super 8, that makes it a rarity. I don't know, I may be wrong, I don't know of any other convention where they're showing previous year's events that have been shot on actual film.
And I must say, I was a little bit nervous when you asked me to do this, because, I mean, it's a really expensive few seconds when you hit the record button. You wouldn't know if I would fail or not. And I'm used to recording video where you can, like, record 10 attempts and then pick the best one. So I was really nervous, and with your expensive camera. So I thought, oh, don't mess this up. But it was really fun. I'm really looking forward to watch the movie.
Yeah, me too. And it'll be good to see it up on the, because it'll be a big screen, not just a small screen. It'll be great to see it up there. And I'm sure that anybody who comes and is interested in Super 8 filming will find out just what it's like when the film looks as good as it can do on the film screen.
Yeah, and I said, after I had done this, I'm glad you didn't tell me in advance. You said to me, well, you know, this is the second time I let somebody else use my camera to record.
That's right. So I mean, that is, normally it's me behind the camera, but I am really glad that I did have a lot of faith, because I'd seen the good, brilliant work that you'd done on the YouTube video. So I thought it'd be interesting to see how that looks on Super 8. And as you'll see, Ivan, because Ivan's not seen the film, but it really does look excellent on Super 8 film, obviously through a humming projector.
And talking about my YouTube video, I have made a YouTube video from the last two conventions that is available on YouTube, and I can put those links to those two in the show notes if anybody wants to see how the convention is like. And I really enjoyed making those and have them as a memory for how it was there. But I really hope that if you are considering going, let's take a look at that video, and perhaps you will be tempted to go.
Definitely. And it is an excellent, you know, those YouTube videos themselves are brilliant. You really get a feeling of what it's like to be at Blackpool. It's obviously never as good, but it's the nearest thing you can get to feeling how good it is by watching those videos.
So for those now considering going next time, what is the date? When will it be next time? I guess you have the dates ready.
So it starts on Friday the 24th and runs. So it's the 24th of November 2023 up until the 26th of November 2023. Now, if you look out on the forums or if you read any of the cine magazines, you'll start to see information coming out in the next few months about how to book. So you don't need to book to come to the event. But when we say book, we mean hotel accommodation. The Grand Hotel where we hold the event, they offer us a number of bedrooms for a very low price. And that includes evening meal, all the rest of it. So we haven't put a number out yet. At the time of recording, this is January, so probably March will be when those phone numbers come out. So you would need to obviously plan how many days you're coming. Some people come just for the actual film fair. Other people come for the Friday and the Saturday. It's completely up to you. But the big date, if you like, is the 26th of November. And as I say, details will come out soon about how to book accommodation. We always say book the accommodation as soon as you can, because the hotel can literally overnight lose all its rooms because they have a block booking that may come in. So we have we start off with about 30 rooms available, and then when we've used that up, they give us another 30. I think that's how it works. But as I say, if the hotel received a block booking, then all of those rooms could disappear. And whilst you'd always find somewhere, there's a lot of hotels in Blackpool, you'd always find somewhere It is good to have a hotel bedroom in the actual hotel of the convention. It saves you having to walk out and about. It's just very convenient.
Yeah, I must say, the first time I was there, I was staying at the Imperial just down the road, and it's a great hotel. But there's something else living at the Grand, because you live at the convention. You see people when you go out for breakfast. I have had a lot of great conversations at the breakfasts, which you would never experience if you go to the other hotels. And you can, when you are buying things, suddenly you have your hands full of film reels, and you can just take a quick run up to the hotel room and leave it there, so we don't have to carry it all around. It's a huge plus for me, so I will always stay at the Grand for that reason. For those of us coming from abroad, landing at Manchester is probably the easiest option. I learned a trick when I started going there. Norwegians are really into football. I'm not, but many are. And there are a couple of not insignificant teams, let's say it that way, in Manchester. And the trick was to buy the plane tickets before the schedule of the football teams, because if you have big important games in Manchester, suddenly the planes will be fuller and the price go up. So I always book the plane as early as possible. And you can go from the Manchester airport to the Blackpool with a train. It takes 1 hour, 40 minutes or something. So it's not difficult at all to go there, even from abroad. Even though this episode is about Blackpool, let's mention other conventions out there. We have the British Film Collectors Convention. I think that also started in 1976, but had a little break now. They're back. There'll be at the Chorleywood War Memorial Hall in London.
I'm looking forward to coming to that. That'll be really good. In fact, it's going to be great to come and join the queue instead of being organising it. It'll be great to be with all the people in the line outside.
I can imagine. And also maybe pick up a couple of tricks and think, oh, that was a good idea. Let's see if that will be something we can do in Blackpool as well. This is their 66th convention. And as I said, they have been around since 1976. In the US, we have the CineSea at the East Coast twice a year, once in the spring in April usually, and once in the fall, usually late September. I have to show Simon here, you can see me on the video, you cannot, but I have a cup from CineSea sent me very kindly from the US by Greg Perry, a very good friend, and my right hand at the Super 8 database.
Well, so, that's given me an idea. Maybe we should have some Blackpool mugs made. Let's see what we can do.
I would buy one. And we have the Cine event in Ohio in May, where they show old films and have memorabilia for sale. In Germany, we have the Diedesheim Film Fair in April. And in the Scandinavia, we have the Nordic Film Collectors Convention going around between Sweden, Denmark, and Norway. So before we wrap up, what questions should I have asked you but failed to do so, if any?
I think everything's been covered really well. I think it's been a chance. I think this is the first podcast ever to be done about Blackpool. So again, that adds something to the history of it. No, I think it's been really, really good. I would urge people definitely to come. There are people who say every year, oh, I'm going to come to Blackpool, and then there's something crops up, like they've got to go shopping or something, which is a bit of a shame, really, because they don't know what they're missing out on. And as I said, my first time I came in 1997 thinking, I wonder what, I'd read about Blackpool, I wonder how good it is. Well, the fact that I've not missed a single Blackpool since 1997 tells you just how good it really is. And that's year on year. I mean, you know, it's like life. Everything can't be perfect. And some years are better than others. But over the past at least 10, 12, 15 years, it's become an event that's just got better and better and better. If you enjoy film, this is the place to experience that.
Yes, and I saw Paul posted the dates when they were ready on one of the forums. And the next day, I had the days off cleared off by my boss to make sure that wouldn't slip this time.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
So I would definitely go this year as well. If you enjoyed this episode and want to follow us, you can listen to us and subscribe to our podcast using players like Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. You can also use any podcast player supporting RSS. Go to our website, hammingprojector.com, to learn how to subscribe. You can also listen to the current and previous episodes on our website without any additional software. If you have any feedback on this episode or a suggestion for future episodes, please send a mail to feedback@hammingprojector.com. I want to say a big thanks to everybody that sent feedback to our episode the last time about digestion extracts. It's really appreciated, and it seems clear that we could do at least one more episode on that subject. And with that, we have reached the end of this episode. Thanks a lot to Simon McConway for taking the time to talk to us about the Blackpool Convention. My name is Eivind Mork, and thanks for listening.